Good morning, everybody. How we doing? Cool. Good. If you missed it, Lisa said it about four times, but my name is Tyler. I'm one of the pastors here, and you might not know this. Some people call me Tyler Friendship Crandall because I really, really, truly love friendship. And this is Hakeem Olajuwon. Hakeem Olajuwon and I are not friends. I have nothing against him. In fact, I think if we were to ever meet, we would be friends. I kind of feel that way about most people, that like, if I met them, we would be friends. I feel that way about LeBron James. Looking good, LeBron. Don't boo him. He's my guy. He and I were about the same age. We got the same body type, same hairline. And I just think if we were to ever meet, we would hit it off. I think I'd be friends with Andy Samberg. He's one of the funniest people alive, in my opinion. Looking good, Andy. I think I'd be friends with Chris Pratt, right? Especially like Parks and Rec era. I messed that up this morning in my car too when I was practicing. But I think we would be friends. Thumbs up to you, bud. I think Doug Funny from the cartoon Doug from when I was a kid. I think we would be friends. A couple more. Peyton Manning. I think we would get along really well. I think his dry sense of humor, my a little bit absurdist, I think it would just be really, really good, Peyton. And this last one is Bandit Healer from Bluey. And I couldn't find a picture of him with a thumbs up because he's a dog and he doesn't have thumbs. And so we're going to give him a pass. So anyway, I really do believe that just about anybody I could be friends with. And that was a little bit of a digression. Let's get back to Hakeem Olajuwon. All right. Hakeem grew up in Nigeria. He grew up playing soccer until the age of 15. Some people actually call him Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon, which is a very cool nickname, almost as cool as friendship. And he was an NBA center in the 80s and the 90s. He was drafted, actually, a pick ahead of Michael Jordan in the 1984 draft. And what a year 1984 was. I was alive for one whole week of it, right at the end. And but Ghostbusters, I believe, came out in 84. Karate Kid, like lots of things that are near and dear to me came out in 1984. Back to Olajuwon. He was best known for his time with the Houston Rockets. When he was with them, he won an MVP. He won two Defensive Players of the Year awards, and he won two NBA championships. He was feared because of his defensive skills, and to this day, he holds the record for most blocks in a career in the NBA with 3,800, which is just 3,800 more blocks than I have in the NBA. He had unparalleled footwork. He had an unstoppable post move called the Dream Shake. Hakeem, at 7 feet tall, moved with the grace and the agility of a dancer. And so now, pop quiz. Does anybody know why on earth I would be talking about Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon to start this morning? Yes, thank you. Fasting. If you watched the NBA in the 80s and 90s, you would see this guy fasting for 40 days every spring. He would fast in observance of Ramadan. This was an elite athlete at the top of his game, eating nothing and drinking nothing from sunrise to sunset for over a month out of the year. Those championships he won, that happened while he was on Ramadan fast. The MVP award that he won was awarded to him while he was fasting. Now, long, long before Ramadan, fasting was woven into the life of Israel and into the life of the early church. In the book of Leviticus, there's the Day of Atonement, and it was marked by what Scripture calls denying yourselves. And that was a phrase that Jewish tradition came to understand as fasting. For thousands of years before Jesus, people fasted as a way of denying themselves and making space for God. And for thousands of years after Jesus, followers of the way, the Christian church, have fasted. Right? It was so common in Jesus' day that when he addressed it, he didn't say, if you fast, he said, when you fast, right? It was something that only recently has become more niche. It's become almost like a mystical discipline that is rarely practiced by the American church and the Western church at large. Because we live mostly in a culture of abundance. We don't just have gratification, we have instant gratification. Everything is convenient. We have Grubhub, we've got Uber Eats, we've got Postmates, we've got DoorDash. We have just about anything you could want right here in the palm of our hand. But what if we're missing out on something? What if there's something more available to us? And so with that in mind, this morning we will be starting our series on fasting. Now, when we talk about fasting, we are going to be primarily referring to abstaining from food for a set amount of time. And the reason for this is that historically, fasting in the scriptures meant abstaining from food for some time. That's what they were talking about in Leviticus in scripture when they talked about the Day of Atonement. They often just meant going without food. That's what Jesus did right before he started his public ministry. But I think that at its core, fasting is voluntarily laying down something good for a time to seek something better. Ooh, I love to hear those notes crinkling. It's good stuff, guys. Thanks. I worked really hard on those, and so I appreciate that you're using them. If you need one, there's like a handful still in the back over there. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He was quoting something from the Torah, which he would have memorized as a kid. And I think as seekers and believers in Jesus, we typically engage our hearts and our souls and our minds or some like combination of those when we, you know, study the scriptures and when we read books about our faith and when we come to church and we go to small group and we have conversations about Jesus. But here's the thing. I believe that fasting is this way that we can engage our bodies, our strength. We can give God more of our attention and more of God our intentions. Now, the reality is that in this room, there are some people that should not fast from food for medical reasons, for recovery reasons, or because of the season of life that you are in, right? If you have diabetes or some autoimmune issues, or you've struggled with disordered eating in the past, then fasting from food may not be a good idea right now. Matthew 11, 29 to 30 in the Message translation, which is my favorite verse in the Bible, says this, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Now, this is a translation of the Bible. I doubt that Jesus said these exact words, but the heart of this is so beautiful to me. And so if fasting from food is just simply not an option for you, then I believe that standing up here and asking you to do it, that would fall under laying something heavy and ill-fitting on you. Right? That would be a burden that I shouldn't ask you to bear. But you are still very much invited to participate in this series and in this practice in some other ways. Right? Wisdom here matters. Now, if you are physically able to fast from food, I really, really want to encourage you to try it. Because as much as I love the idea of unforced rhythms of grace, sometimes I gloss over the fact that we're invited to learn. And we learn by doing. We learn by being with Jesus, by keeping company with him and seeing how he does things. And so we may have some fears. We may have some holdups when we consider doing this. Like, why would I voluntarily make myself weaker That's against everything I believe. I go to the gym so I can get stronger. Why would I want to be weaker? Or why would I open myself up to like spiritual attack? Or am I going to be able to show up for my kids, for my work, for the people who are counting on me? When we fast, we are choosing a small, voluntary weakness. And we will face challenges, right? That shouldn't surprise us. Our Savior, Jesus, chose weaknesses too. He came as a little helpless baby. He grew up with parents and siblings. He grew into this man of God who knew who he was, but still had to rely on his Father for everything. He entered the wilderness hungry right before he started his public ministry. He trusted the Father through temptations. He lived dependent, not self-sufficient. See, fasting is not about heroics. It's about imitation. We're invited to imitate Jesus in this. It's not about punishing ourselves. It's about offering ourselves to Jesus. It's about choosing to give something up. It's about surrender. And I think that every single one of us, in here, online, listening later, I think every single one of us can practice some kind of embodied surrender. Because when we choose to give up something that we like or something that we want, we can make space for something that we love and something that we need. And this is an invitation. It's not a test. We're not trying to prove anything to God. We're not trying to impress anyone. We're not trying to drop a couple pounds before spring break. We're practicing making space because there is more of Jesus available to you. Sometimes we just need to clear out some clutter to make space. Think about it like this, okay? Let's say somebody offers you your dream car. This would be mine. It's a Jeep Grand Wagoneer with wood paneling. This particular one has an updated engine, so it would get more than 8 miles to the gallon, which would be very, very nice. But picture your dream car. It doesn't need to be the Jeep Grand Wagoneer, whatever your dream car is, and it's yours. For free, and you can have it as long as there's space in your garage for it. Right? You don't have to take it. You don't have to. Nobody's making you take it, but it is available to you if you want it, and you want it. You want it bad, right? It's your dream car, but your garage is full. This is from Google. This is not my garage. It's not far, but it's not my garage. We don't subscribe to Chewy for our cat, little idiot. All right, but your garage is full, okay? You got the old busted up Papa Shot in one corner that you keep meaning to fix up. You've got Christmas decorations. You got your tools. You got a bunch of old paint cans that match some color in your house somewhere that maybe still isn't even there. You've got the camping equipment that you never use but keep buying. You've got a box of chargers and remotes and cables that go with devices that you no longer have. And of course, you have your current car. Even if you could get your current car in there, you gotta clear that out too to make space for this dream car. And I don't know about you, I would be willing to set aside that stuff to make room for my dream car. This is an artist's rendering of that. Man. Look at that guy. He's just so comfortable in his own skin, and he's got that Jeep that he's leaned up on. So, right, like, we'll get rid of the junk for sure. That's no problem. But we got to even get rid of some of the good stuff. And again, to get that, I would do it. I would lay down something good for something better. And fasting, it's a way that we can do that. Because, again, there is more of Jesus available to you. Sometimes we just need to clear out some clutter to make space. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to be inviting you to join us in experimenting with fasting. We're not going to do it perfectly. We're just going to try some stuff. So each Sunday morning in here, we'll introduce you to a new reason to fast. And then you'll be invited to dig deeper into each of those reasons with your small group or your community group or with a buddy. Because this practice is actually meant to be communal. It's meant to be shared and not done alone. And so if you're not in a small group or a community group yet, if you don't have, let's say, a traveling companion yet for this journey, let's try to find you one. None of this is meant to be extreme or dramatic. It's intended to be honest and intentional. And once again, it is voluntary. In that little bumper video that played before I came up here, that feels like ages ago, right? Because we're having so much fun. I mean, it's just, time flies when you're having fun. They mentioned that over the course of this series, we would explore four reasons for fasting. To offer ourselves to Jesus, to grow in holiness, to amplify our prayers, and to stand with the poor. And all four of these are beautiful and rich and rooted in Scripture. And today we're going to be focusing on the first one. Fasting is a way to offer our whole selves to Jesus. It's not the only way, but it's a way. And I don't know about you, but following Jesus is hard. It's hard. And fasting is hard. But it's worth it. And Jesus is worth it. So what is going on when we fast? When we fast, we are offering our bodies, our whole selves to Jesus. We are laying down for a time our desires and our appetites. Paul puts it this way in Romans 12:1. He says, in view of God's mercy, well, he actually says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So Paul challenges us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Not an hour on Sundays, not a little bit of quiet time here and there, not some songs, but he says, our bodies. When we fast, we are doing that. We're offering ourselves to Jesus. And we're not offering him our strength or the things that we can do. We're offering him our need. We're offering him our appetite. We're offering our cravings. And as we feel those pangs of hunger or longing, we can just notice that. And we can use it as a call to prayer. Over the past few weeks, I've tried some different fasts, and I've tried to keep this note card in my pocket. And each time I start to feel hungry, or I start to think a lot about food, I'll pull out the note card, and I read this little prayer. It says, Jesus, I offer this hunger to you. Teach me to hunger for you. Because fasting can teach us to say with our bodies what we believe or what we aspire to believe in our hearts, that Jesus is our true sustenance, that he is our bread of life. Now, Jesus never issued a direct command to fast, you know, the way he did about love or forgiveness. But he clearly assumed that his followers would do it. You know, he himself fasted, his disciples fasted, the disciples of his buddy John fasted, the Pharisees fasted. But Jesus did say this to them. says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. There are lots of ways we can do this. Lots of ways we can deny ourselves, right? For some of us, that might just mean letting other people have the last word. That's how we deny ourselves and take up our cross. For some of us, it's listening lavishly to others. For some of us, it's serving, giving of our time or our resources to others. And I believe that fasting is just another one of these ways that we can deny ourselves. Again, when we fast, we choose to deny ourselves something good in pursuit of something better. And just like any of the practices, prayer or Sabbath or generosity or community, the practice of fasting is about formation, not performance. It's about becoming more like Jesus than it is putting on a show. It's about authenticity and humility and not, hey, look at me. And Jesus, he was really quick to set the record straight on this. He says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And I'm going to be real with you guys right now. I've actually been struggling with this piece a little bit because, like I said, I've been trying some different fasts for like the last month as I prepare for this sermon. And I've been really quick to talk about it. You know, I'd be like, oh gosh, I'm just really low energy today. Why is that? Oh, I'm doing this fast. And so maybe I am a hypocrite. But I think that I've been talking about it so much and telling people because I'm excited. I'm excited about trying it. I'm excited about inviting other people to try it with me. It's kind of new for me, and I get excited about stuff that's new. I do think that part of the problem is that this was meant to be communal, and I've been doing it by myself. It's meant to be shared with others, ideally other people who are also fasting. So talking about fasting with those that you're on the journey with, that's not what Jesus is talking about in this section. He's not saying that you have to keep it a secret that you're fasting, but he is saying don't make it a show. Right? He said the hypocrites, they disfigure their faces to show others they're fasting. So they would walk around, oh, God, it's so hard. Oh my gosh, I'm so lightheaded. Like making it a huge show. And so I've been trying to think about like what some modern day examples of this could be, about this hypocrisy that Jesus was talking about. And so I want to play a little game with you guys. How many of you remember Jeff Foxworthy and his old "you might be a redneck" stuff? So he'd be like, if you've got a yard full of tires, but no cars that work, you might be a redneck. Well, we're going to play a little game called "You Might Be a Fasting Hypocrite." Okay? So I'm going to lay out three scenarios for you. I'm going to give you the background. You're going to say, you might be a fasting hypocrite, okay? And if you don't participate, it's going to be so lame. So no pressure, but if I'm the only one saying it, it's going to feel like, what a fool. So here we go. If your Facebook page has a countdown until the next time you can eat, you might be a fasting hypocrite. Good. If you have a shirt that says, this is my fasting shirt, you might be a hypocrite. And if you're making TikTok videos like this, where you're like, hey guys, just walked into the belly of the beast at Panera for a meeting. The struggle is real. I can't eat until tomorrow, but it's going to be okay. Hashtag blessed. Then
you might be a fasting hypocrite. But like, thank you guys. I'm so glad you participated. I super appreciate it. That was the part that I was like, this could go either way. But like, if you're fasting and you're feeling low energy, you're feeling hangry, you're feeling a little bit foggy, and one of your friends or colleagues notices it, you have not failed the assignment. Because we don't need to fake it or pretend that we're fine if we're actually struggling while we fast. Just like we don't need to fake it and pretend we're fine anytime. Like, part of being in community, part of being authentic is being real. So I feel like it would be not genuine if I'm struggling and someone says, you seem a little off today, what's going on? And I said, oh, nothing. Because they might assume like, oh, there's trouble at home. Like, it's just easier to just be like, I'm doing a fast. So there we go. I might have just been giving that whole thing so that I would feel a little bit better about how much I've talked about fasting before these sermons, but hopefully it resonates with you too. The hypocrisy, it doesn't come from the struggle. The hypocrisy comes from the show and the motivation behind the show. If you're like, I really want people to know I'm fasting so they'll think I'm super spiritual, then that's not a good reason to talk about. If you're wanting to invite others into it, so you're going to hype it up, I feel like that's okay. All right, so just a quick recap, because we got in the weeds a little bit. When we fast, we offer ourselves, our whole selves, as living sacrifices. And we deny ourselves, and we should not make it into a performance. And so here's the invitation this week. This week, we're going to try as a community, if we're able to fast from food, to pick one day and to skip breakfast. Like, you can eat dinner the night before. So let's say I'm going to fast on tomorrow. I'm going to eat dinner tonight, and then I'm not going to eat breakfast, and I'm not going to eat lunch, and then break the fast at dinner with just a simple meal. That's it. We're not going for 40 days like Jesus did and Moses did. We're not even going for like 21 days. We're not trying to be Hakeem Olajuwon out here. We're not doing anything extreme. It's just an ordinary weekday where we try to allow hunger to be our teacher. And when hunger comes, notice it. Don't distract yourself from it and let it prompt prayer. You will likely feel a little bit foggy. You may feel a little irritable. You may not have a ton of energy, and you may realize how much you eat out of boredom, convenience, habit. Just pay attention to those things. If you're a fellow coffee drinker like me, if you own anything that says, "But first, coffee," you don't have to give up coffee. Unless you feel like Jesus is telling me to give up coffee, don't do it. We don't need that. As I've done these fasts, I've had more coffee than I ever have, which is probably why my tummy hurts sometimes. So don't give up coffee unless you feel called to. Again, if you can try fasting from food, that's great. And if you cannot fast completely from food, again, the series is still really open to you, because perhaps you could just try reordering some of your food habits, right? Maybe you fast from going out to eat. Maybe your food fast is a fast food fast. You don't do fast food. That would be good for me. Or maybe you fast from sweets or alcohol, if you're of age, or chips or something else that you really like. And I'm not saying give it up forever. I'm not even saying give it up for 40 days. I'm just saying give it up for a little while. I think this is good for all of us. Try eating with more intention, with more simplicity, and more gratitude. Actually chew your food. Set your fork down between bites. Notice the different flavors. Slow down And those of you that are teachers, you're like, yeah, right. I remember those days and I still eat like a teacher. So these are all good for me too. Perhaps the invitation for you has nothing to do with food. And I think that's great. Because I think we can all accept an invitation to fast from noise and from screens, from convenience, from constant input. I don't know about you, I mentioned earlier, I love podcasts. And so I am typically in the habit of the moment I get in the car and the car and the phone pair up, boom, hit play. If I'm walking somewhere, boom, I'm hitting play. In the shower, boom, I'm hitting play and hoping my phone doesn't fall in the shower. What was the other thing? Oh, going on a walk, boom, I'm hitting play. And so for Lent, I'm actually taking a break from my favorite podcast. And y'all, it's been hard. This has been as hard, if not harder, but probably as good, if not better for me than taking food fasts. Because again, when we fast, the point is to lay something down. The point isn't the food or the menu or the lack thereof. The point is the offering. Remember, at its core, fasting is voluntarily laying down something good for a time to seek something better. Fasting is a way we can offer ourselves, our whole selves, to Jesus. And so the question isn't, can I go without food and how long? The question actually is, what might Jesus be inviting you to lay down for a time so you can offer yourself more fully to him? Let's sit with this question for a moment. What might Jesus be inviting you, me, us, to lay down for a time so that we can offer more of ourselves to him? As you sit with that question, do you notice any resistance in yourself? Ask Jesus what that's about. Are you excited about the possibility? Are you nervous? Are you annoyed that we're going to be talking about this for 4 weeks? Just notice that. Now, I would be remiss if this sermon ended and I didn't do one of my favorite new gimmicks, Tyler's top five, and also the child born to be king. That was a copy and paste error on my part. I thought the little song was gonna play too. Darn. This is why we practice. But here's your first do. Do drink lots of water. Here's your first don't. Don't preload the evening before the fast or try to make up when you do start eating again. Like, we don't need to be Michael Scott carbo loading before the Michael Scott Dunder Mifflin Scranton Meredith Palmer Memorial Celebrity Rabies Awareness Pro-Am Fun Run Race for the Cure. It's not necessary. Okay, do spend the time that you would have spent, you know, cooking and eating and shopping for food and cleaning up. Do use that time in other practices like worship or prayer, scripture reading, community. Don't use that time to try to be more productive at work or with the tasks you need to do. Like, oh, I have this hour that I usually would be going to lunch. Maybe I'll just keep powering through these emails. Like, instead, go back to step three. Do spend that time in some practices. And the last one is, do be gracious and patient with yourself and with others. This will come as no surprise, but over the past month, as I've tried some different fasting, I've done a lot of things not well. I've done a couple things really well, but a lot of stuff I've messed up on. I have really struggled with the preloading and making up. The night before I start a fast, I usually have seconds, maybe even thirds of dinner. And then I eat a huge bowl of cereal before bed because I'm like, well, I'm not going to eat till sunset tomorrow, so YOLO, right? And then when it is time to eat again, I do not eat a simple dinner. I go nuts. I ended one of my fasts at Yummy Buffet with my daughter. My tummy hurt again. So do as I say, not as I do. These Practicing the Way booklets that have come in, pick one of these up in the lobby. They actually have really good tips on how to do this well. And if you follow them, I think you'll be good. You'll be well off. I lost my spot. I'm so sorry. Yeah, okay. Finally, remember, don't do this alone. Right? Don't do this alone. It's meant to be communal, so don't try to do it alone. I will say, I do think I've done well with letting the hunger pangs, remind me of my name for Jesus and to pray. And so when you start to feel hungry or you start to desire that thing that you've given up, when you reach for your phone again and again and again, if that's the thing you're fasting from, and you do it at 8:30 and at 10 and at noon and at 3, just notice that and pray. Try to write down a simple prayer that works for you. Mine were, Jesus, teach me to hunger for you. Jesus, I offer you this hunger. Sometimes I would pray, Lord, your power is made perfect in weakness. Please meet me in this weak place. But you can do something totally different. Pick something that works for you. Try to keep it simple. Try to keep it honest. And then repeat it. Because then every little tummy grumble becomes an invitation. Every craving becomes an offering. Because fasting isn't just another practice of Jesus. Sorry, it is. Fasting is just another practice of Jesus. And we're invited to try it as a way to be with him and to become more like him and to do the things he did. And just like any of the practices, fasting is going to be harder for some of us than others. I do want to just give you an encouragement that comes straight from this book. It says, resist the urge to judge your experience. Release thoughts like, I liked it, I disliked it. I felt close to God, I didn't feel close to God. Just let the experience of fasting be what it is and offer it to God in love. Fasting is a way we can offer our whole selves to Jesus. As with any of these practices, start with where you actually are, not where you think you should be. Focus on what you can do, not what you can't. And don't do it alone. Would you stand as you're able so I can read this blessing over you? As you go into this week, may every hunger remind you of your deeper hunger for Christ. May every weakness turn your heart toward prayer. And may you discover that when you offer yourself to Jesus, he gives himself to you. Amen. Before you go, I have a few housekeeping things, and you guys know how I do with announcements, so if you want to sit back down, you're welcome to. I won't be offended, but here they are. Books are in. Grab those in the lobby if you haven't yet. There's a community group that starts on Mondays. That is starting tomorrow, and you can sign up for that in the lobby. Lisa's out there to talk about any of that. There are also some really good resources about fasting downstairs if you've got kiddos. Jill and I put together some stuff for families that can, you know, serve as a guide. And a final reminder, next week we're doing starting the silent prayer time, so those doors will be locked. Come in over there if you want to participate. And lastly, this is new, I want your feedback. And so if you have questions or you have concerns, if you want help finding someone to do this journey with, you can scan this QR code. It's also on the notes handout. And that's it. Thank you for being here today, and we hope to see you next week, and go in God's peace.